You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 439.
That's a lot of flops.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hello, Kevin. Hi.
439, that is a lot of flopping, isn't it?
That's what I've always said.
We're closing in on, 450? That's a big number.
It really is.
That'll happen in like 11 weeks.
Soon enough.
All right. We should do like a tribute to King Kong Bundy from the World Wrestling Federation for episode 450, because that was his weight.
Whoa.
All right. Try to remind me. Remind me if you can. That'd be nice. Let's pencil that in. And you know we're going to forget. But
right.
In the unlikely event that we remember.
King Kong Bundy.
Pay tribute to King Kong Bundy. Back at the beginning of the pandemic, remember I was watching old wrestling shows?
Yeah.
Because I remember watching WrestleMania 2, King Kong Bundy versus Hogan in a steel cage.
Do you remember that?
That's how I kicked off the pandemic.
You did it right.
Yeah, that was quality time. Anyway, that's something to look forward to like 11 weeks from now, but probably not because this will all be forgotten. Even by the end of this episode, we will have forgotten this whole conversation.
I know. I will have.
We got to get through this episode first anyway, Cornflake. And you know how we like to start things around here. This is all on you. As I just kick back and relax and prepare to make annoying, obnoxious, sarcastic comments, Cornflake, what do you have for National Whatever Day?
We're going big. This is already happening right now. I'm talking National Whatever Month. Squirrel Awareness Month. October is Squirrel Awareness Month, or as we call them around Chicken Town, Squouse. Squouse Awareness Month.
All right. I like the correction to Squouse Awareness because, yeah, here in the Chicken Town area, we have a squirrel-mouse hybrid creature, of course, the Squouse. They look almost exactly like a regular squirrel.
Yeah, they blend in real well.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one that can tell.
You know a squouse when you see a squouse. But
right.
You were talking about what you were doing at the beginning of the pandemic. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was watching this guy out in California who used to be a NASA and an Apple engineer try to outsmart the squirrels in his yard so that they couldn't get to the bird feeder. And he set up like a ninja warrior obstacle course for them.
And yeah, you know what? I think I saw that guy.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Is this the guy like with the catapult?
Yeah, the Squousin catapult.
The guy was launching squirrels across his yard.
But you could see the way that this...
like Wile E. Coyote.
The Squouse would angle its body. It would land comfortably and it wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, the guy would like teach a little science lesson in this video that he made where he launches the Squouse by pushing a button. But then he shows you, wait, it's fine. The squirrel is fine. Look how it knows exactly how to land. But yeah, it's a very, very cool, very funny video. And I've seen other videos like that of people have built these elaborate obstacle courses for their backyard squirrels to enjoy.
All right. Well, the things that I intend to do to enjoy Squirrel Awareness Month is to read a Marvel comic that I have gotten into. I have discovered I really enjoy The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yes, yes. Those are cool stories.
Oh, they're so cute. Doreen Green has become a bit of a hero of mine. She's here to kick butts and eat nuts, I think it is, or eat nuts and kick butts. Sounds like a plan to me.
Now, Squirrel Girl versus Secret Squirrel. Who would emerge victorious?
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I'm going to give it to Secret Squirrel.
Oh, wow.
You disagree with me?
I'm surprised by this choice of yours. Yeah, okay. I assume this would be a simple, clear victory for Squirrel Girl. Unless you're counting on Morocco Mole to show up as like the secret weapon. And
yeah, I guess I am. So maybe it's not even a fair fight.
I guess not, yeah. Okay, you won me over. I agree. Well, it sounds like you're in for quite a month. of squouses.
A whole month of squouses. Yes.
All right, Cornflake. Also today, we're trying to keep things relatively short today, but I thought we got to do something. And then I realized we did our Saturday morning 1980 episodes way back in the spring. We did three episodes covering Saturday morning TV from 40 years ago, the year 1980. Now here we are in the fall. And as we threatened back then, we thought we should do this again. We should do more shows kind of going through the Saturday morning cartoon lineup, network by network. But now I didn't want to just go up to the following year. You know, I didn't want to go, now let's do 1981, because it'd be too similar.
Would not have changed.
Yeah, it'd be practically the same shows. So just to mix it up, I wanted to either jump like a decade back or a decade forward. And I thought, let's go forward, you know, to the 90s.
Ah, now you're in my neighborhood.
This is your time, Cornflake. Let's look at Saturday morning TV 30 years ago, 1990. And that's very current by Flopcast standards.
Yes.
Very timely of us. So once again, we should work in alphabetical order, network by network. So let's start with ABC. And since I thought of this like 20 minutes before we started recording, I know you had zero time to prepare for this. So my hope is that you prepared for this by living it, because this is what you were doing in 1990, was just watching all these shows, I'm guessing.
Most definitely, yes.
So I think you should be good to go, even though, surprise.
Thank you.
So let's do this. We're just going to talk through what was on ABC Saturday morning, and starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, it was The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Loved that show. Still love that show.
Not a new show in 1990. This started in 88.
Yes. That iteration of Winnie the Pooh was so well animated, and the musical score was great, and the stories were so endearing. I was hooked in that show. Sometimes I still go back on YouTube and I try to find old episodes of it. It's been a little bit more difficult to track down, but I loved that show.
Well, according to my research, it's on Disney Plus now. At least I'm on Wikipedia right now, and it says when they launched in November, it was on Disney Plus. So it's probably still there.
I have been so busy watching The New Muppet Show that I didn't even notice.
I'm surprised you didn't disconnect the Zoom call right now.
Kevin, I loved that show. I loved that show so much. Oh,
yeah, I did not watch this show. I don't think I watched any of these shows. I was not watching Saturday morning TV in 1990 for the most part. But I just checked out a few minutes of it this evening. And yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah, I still rumbly tumbly climbing a honey tree every Saturday morning. I loved that song.
So this was Disney, of course, and it ran four seasons. And yeah, this is when Disney was really, by the late 80s, Disney animation was on the rise again, and it shows here. This was quality stuff. This was an Americanized version of Winnie the Pooh, right, as opposed to the original British stuff.
Yes.
And I guess you can see it again. Now you're excited.
I am. You have made my, well, you and the squirrels have made my October.
You're going to ignore the squirrels for the rest of the month and just stare at your Disney Winnie the Pooh cartoons.
You're not wrong.
All right, so there's a strong start to your 1990 cartoon lineup. All right, right after that, this one was interesting to me. I had no memory of this ever happening, and I'm curious to see if you remember this, but at 8:30, The Wizard of Oz. Do you remember a 1990 Wizard of Oz Saturday morning cartoon series?
Mm-mm. I must switch to another channel at that point.
Yeah, and this was, they only made 13 episodes, and very directly based on the movie, the 1939 Wizard of Oz, because there have been Wizard of Oz sequels over the years. You know, they did follow-up movies and stuff, and often they would bring in elements of the other L. Frank Baum Oz books. So a lot of the follow-up sequel movies and stuff, they brought in, like, the Pumpkinhead dude and TikTok, the Mechanical Man, and the Sawhorse, and the Chicken. There was that talking chicken character. This version, and I watched a little bit of it today, as far as I could tell, it was all just based on the movie. So, like, they were just going for, here's the stuff everybody knows.
There are enough people who are way into Wizard of Oz that I would have thought that would get more popular.
Yeah, they only made 13 of them. It looked pretty good. I thought it was a good-looking show. All the classic characters. They had the winged monkeys resurrected the Wicked Witch of the West. So the witch was back in business.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, they kind of just, you know, reset things in Oz so that they could all have more adventures again together, that same original crew, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
Everybody's forgotten that this thing ever happened. But there you go. It did. And get ready for a shock. Toto, voiced by Frank Welker.
Oh, some things never change.
Yeah, the other name that popped out from the voice cast was Tress MacNeille as the Wicked Witch of the West, because she's obviously voiced a billion things over the years, lots of voices on The Simpsons and everything else, of course. So yeah, it's a pretty good little show, and some of it at least is available on YouTube, so people can look this stuff up. But there you go, Wizard of Oz.
I might just go to see what I missed.
Check it out. Moving along, 9 o'clock. I think this is something that you definitely would have seen. 9 o'clock, we have a one-hour-long version of Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes. I was hooked. That show, it's another one. We've talked about this.
A little bit.
It was really well animated.
Yeah, I saw very little of the Real Ghostbusters cartoon. Probably just a few minutes here and there. Back in the day. And of course, this show had been around for a few years at this point. Real Ghostbusters started in 86. And as we've mentioned many times on the show, I think it was called The Real Ghostbusters because Filmation already had the rights to just Ghostbusters, and they had their own completely unrelated version. That was the one with the gorilla.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I remember that one too. But when it came to The Real Ghostbusters, I know that it was then Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters, and really Slimer started to take center stage, but Slimer wasn't a creep like he was in the movie. He actually seemed to have a conscience and was a little bit bumbling, but like would try to do the right thing. He was a very cute mascot.
Slimer, we should say, voiced by Frank Welker.
Of course.
Yeah, man, voice cast also included Lorenzo Music, Dave Coulier, Arsenio Hall.
Can I admit that I would just watch that show so that I could listen to Lorenzo Music's voice? I loved that voice.
Oh, Lorenzo Music was the voice of Peter Venkman for the first couple of seasons and then was replaced by Dave Coulier.
Right, because Lorenzo Music sounded too much like Garfield, which he also voiced. That was weird, by the way. I remember as a kid being like, Peter Venkman's voice sounds weird.
Yeah, Lorenzo Music would not mix it up. He had the one voice.
Right.
It's a fantastic voice, but that's the voice you're going to get, you know. And that was because he did one of the gummy bears also. All right, that's Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. I figured you would have seen that.
Good stuff.
And that was a one-hour-long version of that show at this point. I think they reformatted in different ways over the years. Because that was a afternoon syndicated show at one point also, right?
Yes.
And then this was the Saturday morning version. So there you go. Again, I'm not a big Ghostbusters guy. Like, I saw the first movie once. Never saw the second movie, barely saw any of the cartoon. And then I did see the more recent movie with Kristen Wiig and all of them, and I liked that one.
I did it backwards, Kevin. I got way into Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters and then saw the movie.
And let's see, moving on. Well, in a similar vein, because this is also based on a movie, we have at 10 o'clock Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
So Beetlejuice, the cartoon, started in 89. So this would have been year two.
Yep. That was another one that I did backwards, where I watched the cartoon first and then the movie. And of course, the movie ended up completely freaking me out. But the cartoon is fun. There's a lot of great and popping color to the animation, for one thing. And for another thing, it's fun to watch Lydia try to keep Beetlejuice under control. They have a pretty kooky relationship where, like, the kid knows what's right and wrong and is trying to keep this crazy Beetlejuice from doing something completely inappropriate. So I do remember enjoying that.
Yeah, so this is another case where I saw the movie and I don't think I ever saw the cartoon until today. I did watch a little bit of it earlier today.
What did you think?
I think you're right. It looks great. It looks very cool, very fun. Well, the music, it's Danny Elfman retooled his Beetlejuice theme, I believe, according to what I read. So the music was great, really fun opening. I was surprised by just how creepy and kind of...
edgy.
Yeah, just the outrageous visuals that you see right in the opening of the show. And yeah, it looks like they really focus on it's Beetlejuice and Lydia.
Yes, which if you watch the movie, it's not that. But man, if you see that version, like the cartoon version of Beetlejuice, and then you go and watch the movie, you're like, holy moly, Beetlejuice is a jerk.
Of course, they did not get Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder for this thing. So totally different voices, but that's fine.
I did not find it as striking a difference.
Yeah, well, I think the characters are different enough that it's fine that the voices are a little different. But yeah, it is cool that Tim Burton and Danny Elfman were involved in the development of the cartoon. That's probably why it looked so cool, just when the little bit of it that I saw today. They didn't just sign it over to Hanna-Barbera and say, here you go, do whatever you want.
Yeah, you would not have had the same level of mischievous fun, I don't think.
It just would have looked like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, exactly. I would have to say I would not have liked it as much.
Let's move along. Here's a show that I'm not going to watch any more of than the 82 seconds of it that I saw today. But this is one that I'll bet you are quite familiar with, Cornflake, at 10:30 Saturday morning, 1990.
Here we go. I know what it is.
You know where I'm going with this. This was the debut of, in one season only, I believe,
yep.
The New Kids on the Block.
Yep.
Cartoon.
It was not good, Kevin. It was not good, but you could not tear me away.
They made 15 episodes. Yeah, I saw a little bit. I agree. This did not look particularly good.
It was not good.
This was, you know, it's their moment. They're having a moment.
Right.
Get a cartoon out there. Why not? Make a few bucks.
And it was always cool to see anything New Kids, as far as I was concerned. But what most delighted me about that cartoon series was the antics of the rabid fan, Fanny Tweetersweet.
Oh, there was like an official fan character in the show?
Yeah, that was always completely out of hand. And so no matter how much I was fawning over Jordan Knight, I could always look at Fanny Tweetersweet and think, okay, well, I've got it under control, at least a little bit. But yes, I watched every single episode that I could get myself in front of the television for. But I will admit, it does not hold up, and it was not even all that good then.
So the opening of the cartoon, it actually opens in live action. It's like live action concert footage. And then it's sort of like in Kid Video.
Like Kid Video. Yeah, exactly.
Or Aha. They kind of transform into the animated versions as you're watching the opening. So that was kind of fun. And then the episode that I saw, there was like a little live action like interview clips.
Yes.
With the real kids.
That is how they kept us.
Yeah, the interview clip that I saw with one of the new kids, live action interview clip. Kid does not come across as a deep thinker.
Nope.
Whichever one it was, I have no idea. It looked like they had a very difficult time just trying to edit together something that would sound like a coherent thought. So that was weird. But it reminded me, though, of the Mr. T cartoon. Similarly, would open with live action Mr. T.
But live action T is so much better.
Yeah, that was a little more structured. Mr. T was coherent. He would actually be addressing a group of kids live action and kind of explaining what to watch for, what the lesson would be of today's episode. Then they'd go to the episode. Whereas I just saw this babbling, rambling, incoherent new kid.
Yeah.
Mr. T knew what he was talking about. By the way, for years we've had a DVD set of Mr. T season 1, but there was a season 2 and a very short, I think, season 3 of Mr. T cartoon, which was never released on DVD, but it is available now through some, I don't know, it's streaming somewhere. I don't even know where, but you can see the rest of the Mr. T cartoon series.
I would go digging for that.
Yeah, the mayor and I just a few days ago watched season 2, episode 1, and it was...
What'd you think?
Maybe the best thing I've ever seen. It was... They went to Hawaii, you know, Mr. T and the gymnastics team. It was all set in Hawaii.
Now that is cool.
And there's a scene where Mr. T is wearing a lei and a grass skirt.
Now that's, the world needs more of that.
Is there anything else you need in your life?
No.
So there you go. Take to your streaming services. I never know what's showing where, you know, but one of them has the Mr. T cartoon, the whole thing, even the episodes that were not released on DVD.
That is marvelous.
Meanwhile, you can also dig up on YouTube some of this New Kids on the Block cartoon, and if you're like me, you'll get through about 20 seconds of it.
I don't think I'd hang in for much longer, honestly, Kevin.
I know you had a favorite new kid, although I don't remember which one it was, although you've told me like 8 times.
Jordan Knight.
Now, here's my question. Did that change for the cartoon? In animated form, was Jordan still your favorite?
Nope.
I knew it. I somehow knew that the animation would change everything. All right, so who was your favorite on the cartoon?
Donnie
Wahlberg.
I think if I remember, his cartoon had the rat tail and everything.
Oh, no. So this cartoon you're saying is not dated at all. You have no idea it's set 30 years ago.
Oh, no. Yeah, you do.
It's timeless. Let's move on. At 11 o'clock, well, here you go. This really is timeless. 11 o'clock, the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show.
Yeah. If you stuck through New Kids on the Block, you get rewarded with Bugs Bunny and Tweety afterward.
Here's some actual quality cartoons.
Right.
And this was a 60-minute format at this point, Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. As we've discussed, this is a show that went through many format changes and network changes over the decades. The show had been running in one form or another for 30 years at this point and would run another 10 years. Bugs Bunny cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon show, went from approximately like 1960 through 2000.
The credits would come on and I'd think, I bet these are cartoons that I've seen before. And I'd still sit and watch them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we watched these cartoons again and again and again, and still do. They still hold up. It doesn't matter. You can see them 1,000 times. Still great. Now, and this show jumped back and forth between ABC and CBS multiple times over the years. So at this point, it was on ABC. Like, for me, the classic era was like the 70s, early 80s, and it was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show on CBS. And then later on, it name changed a few times. The theme music changed. So at this point, it's the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. However, according to what I read today, they actually at this point had restored the classic On With the Show, This Is It theme song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
Yes, I do remember that.
That's the way to go. At times, they would try to switch it up and they would put in some inferior theme music. So it's nice that they put the good one back. So there you go. You got an hour of classic Looney Tunes. Can't beat that. Let's move on. 12 o'clock noon was the debut of Little Rosie. That was the Roseanne Barr as a little kid cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say, I watched a little bit of this today. It's horrible. And also, Roseanne Barr is a monster. So let's move on.
Right.
And conclude at 12:30, we have a pup named Scooby-Doo.
I did not get to watch this. So it would get to be noontime in my house and we'd have to turn the TV off. So I missed this. Tell me what I missed.
You were kicked out of the house at this point. Get outside.
Go watch some squirrels.
You got to burn off that cookie crisp.
Yep.
Yes. A pup named Scooby-Doo. I did not watch either. Scooby-Doo existed in this format for a few years, I think. So this was a successful run of Scooby-Doo. But this was when they were doing the little kid versions of everything.
I think I would have liked this a lot because I dug the little kid versions of things. I thought those were fun.
This was even getting towards the tail end of that trend, I think, by this point, that this one was still hanging on because this was after, Popeye and Sons and Muppet Babies, of course, and Pink Panther and Sons and all that stuff. And so here's the little kid versions of Scooby-Doo. So Scooby-Doo is a puppy and, Fred and Velma and everybody are much younger. Yeah, I never really saw it. I knew it existed. I was not watching at this point. Don Messick was still voicing Scooby-Doo. And I think this was the last Scooby series with the voice of Don Messick in it. So that's cool. And Casey Kasem was still doing Shaggy. Even though this was a little kid version of Shaggy, Casey was still doing Shaggy. The other leads had different voices, I think, just to make them sound more...
like kiddos.
Yeah, just to make them sound younger. All right, so here's a Scooby version, largely unknown to both of us.
I do remember it being a thing. I just never got to see it.
I imagine you would enjoy this. Okay, so your homework is Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
And...
Wizard of Oz you want to check out, right?
And Mr. T. in Hawaii.
Mr. T, yes, that's true. Not part of the 1990 lineup, but just for your information, Mr. T, now available.
Yes. Well, if the other two items are homework, then Mr. T can be extra credit.
Yeah. So, and then my homework is I want to check out a little more of this Wizard of Oz cartoon because it looked pretty good. And I like how it was just straight from the movie. And Beetlejuice. I want to see some more Beetlejuice also, I think.
Yes. I don't think it will let you down.
So I'd say overall, it's pretty good stuff here, ABC 1990.
Are you surprised?
I'm shocked. This was the waning days of Saturday morning cartoons. You know, once you get into the 90s, clock's ticking.
Yeah.
You know, the days are numbered for a solid Saturday morning lineup.
That's true. Well, even by, 1990, I remember, part of the reason maybe I didn't see some of the cartoons that you're talking about is because I'd flip over to the Weather Channel because I had a little bit of an addiction.
But you were a weird kid.
I was a weird child.
All right. So anyway, there you go. That's ABC 1990. And we will pick this up maybe in a couple of weeks. We'll see how our schedule goes. But at some point before too long, we will cover CBS and then ultimately NBC. We'll make this a three-part series as we did back in the spring.
Sure hope so. Feels like we're off to a strong start here.
And let's throw out a plug, actually, for right here on the ESO Network. If you want more Saturday morning cartoon talk, we have a show devoted to this very subject now. That is The Best Saturdays of Our Lives, is a show exclusively devoted to cartoons. And that's with Dan and Mark. Please do check that out. They do a really nice little show. Cornflake, I think that'll do it for today.
I know I've had my fill.
Get us out of here.
Between watching old cartoons from the 90s on YouTube, I'm going to highly suggest that you go over to flopcast.net. That's our website. We also can be found at facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And on Instagram, we are the_flopcast. Also, hey, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or even a review if you can. We would love that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
And of course, your favorite member of the Sponge Awareness Foundation was Jordan.
Darn straight.
Jordan Sponge. Cornflake, thanks for joining me. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. And of course, everybody, be safe, be kind, be very, very angry.
I know I am.
Good. Oh, we're furious.
We are. Don't let this fun talk about squirrels and cartoons fool you.
Please get ready to vote. Hang in there. We'll see you next week.
Peace and tree squirrels.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to Podcasting has this to say about the weekly Earth Station 1 podcast. Mildly entertaining, not nearly as exciting as the popping of bubble wrap, but slightly better than listening to Vogon poetry. Be mildly entertained by Mike and Mike as they tackle an assortment of geeky topics each week. Check out the Earth Station 1 podcast and let your inner geek out to play.
Cornflake, hello, this is the secret Flopcast. After show.
Oh, wow. It's after show time.
Let's see what's going on around here. Oh, I was redecorating the studio yesterday.
Oh, I'm excited to see what this is looking like someday.
I had three framed posters just off to the side of our recording console here, and they've been up there for like a year, I realized. I thought, I got to switch these out. Because I had a picture of Josie and the Pussycats. Speaking of Saturday morning cartoons, it wasn't the Saturday morning version. This was Josie and the Pussycats as illustrated by Chrissy Zulo, a fantastic artist. I had a picture of Wonder Woman by comic book artist Bill Walco. And then I had a Flash Gordon movie poster, which was signed for us by Sam Jones, Flash Gordon himself. That's the art that's been up here in the studio for a year. I just ripped all that stuff down yesterday, threw it all out on the front yard right by the bird feeder so the squouses could enjoy them, you know.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the new art now, I put up another Chrissy Zulo piece, which I had on reserve, and that's Death. You know Neil Gaiman's Death?
I do know Death, yes.
Sister of Dream, the Sandman. The very cute picture of Death by Chrissy, so we got that up. I have, the Mads, replacing the Flash Gordon signed poster. I have a signed movie poster from the Mads, Trace and TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater, from a screening of Glenn or Glenda. So that is up now. That's a bizarre poster. And then I also have Speaking of Saturday Morning, and also by Bill Walko, our buddy Bill Walko, who's a great cartoonist and comics artist. He did a picture of the Wonder Twins.
Oh, nice.
With Gleek.
Gleek, the space monkey Gleek.
That's what I'm staring at now. So now it's like Death is kind of eyeballing Xan and Jaina and Gleek. It's all very unsettling. It looks like they're about to die.
Uh-oh.
Things have changed here in Chickentown, Cornflake. You have no idea.
What am I going to be coming back to someday?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.